Blog Talk Radio.
Job working as an intern with Will Smith.
Yes.
You say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
With your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
So, thank you to WCC. So I definitely was hemmed up for the last 8 minutes. So live broadcast, special edition call Thursday evening, and Yahweh be with you all. Live broadcast, and Yahweh be with you all. On the international side, it reads, all the slots are filled, 195 international countries is logged in, and what's flashing from the international side, 104974. One thing about it, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power you got when you can cut in the person while you're talking. No doubt about it. 195 international countries. 104974. Let's find the elder and bring him in. He'll tell you all about who's doing what on this broadcast and what's going on. So, when you meet your brother, when you meet the elder, well, loud voice, you say, "Hell, Mr. Pills, Yahweh be to that seed royal."
And Yahweh bless you, seer as well as seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
You know, hallelujah, Yahweh. I was just thinking, that's a lot of power. You think you're talking, and then all of a sudden, now another voice come in while you're talking. That's a lot of power they exhibit. WCC, the last 9 minutes, I was nowhere on the regular airways. I was talking to them. So let me know one thing about it. So we got to do our thing in grand style. All right, Elder, we got a packed room, and they got memos they sent in to me. And take a look at this, take a look at that as we speak. 195 international countries, 104.974 is flashing on the international side. So take your time and let me look over some things, Elder, and tell me exactly what y'all put on you for this call. Special edition Thursday evening, and this time tomorrow night will be the top part of the Saturday. Take your time. Elder, you on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like we have another glorious turnout of people that came to hear the words of Yahweh. 104,974 listeners. But you're right. Those with the power, they do flip the switch every now and then. But we have to admit that we all have came to hear the things that most of us can hear. And some listening, they never understand, and that's without proper teaching. To see those things in the Bible that most of us see, that some looking at never understand, this is the misinformed. They can do none of these things. Again, that's without proper teaching. This is why we say the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures. There's those out there that camouflage evil teachings for righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. So knowing that, to help guide you through these dark times of teaching and bad Christianity, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that's coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahweh's Word, connecting the biblical books for your education, your health, and foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because we know you all have knocked. This is information that you came to seek. Now you found that what you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class, as was mentioned a few minutes ago. The top part of Sabbath is Friday, current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again, until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Even that smartwatch you have will work. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under this big line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give. What's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, live? Also, to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. The calendar explains and scripture detail what the feast days are, when they begin and when they end. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. This time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. This will put you right into our live online broadcast. We're using two email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh, at gmail.com. This to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdh, at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first would be the live conference room number. This would be 319-527-6065. The other would be 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone in the six minor camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. Program time for being repeated will be after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, enter the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you are late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, we're in the process of making it possible to get a recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. We are now, as was said before, after the normal broadcasts, we're on Pal Talk. And sometimes even during a broadcast, we're echoed over to the Pal Talk program. We're listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Yahuwah True Name Teachers. This is where the word of Yahuwah is also working. Online there to answer any questions about the Bible discussion will be either Elder Josiah or Elder Mr. Tibbs, myself, along with Seer Israel. Absolutely no comments will be taken off of topics or multiple text questions answered, which we've seen hundreds of times before. Failure to follow the righteous act, either elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk happens to end before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, I think before we get into our program, I will mention maybe a few things that will strike the interest of some. You know, we were talking about earlier of different, I think, poisons and stuff like that. I'm going to probably get into that, but not touch on it too deeply. There are certain poisons that are used, that we use every day for healing techniques. And we wonder what these poisons are. You know, some of them were mentioned. In their full state, poison would be deadly, as we all know. But in controlled amounts, it can be a cure. An example with that would be snake poisons. I know that sounds pretty dramatic to say that, but the poison from a snake is currently being used. You've heard of people getting bit by a snake, and they actually die before they're admitted to a doctor. Snake venom is usually a highly modified saliva containing zootoxins that facilitate the mobilization and digestion of a prey, you know, when they bite them. And defense against its threat is also used. It is injected by a unique fang of the snake during a bite. And some species are also able to spit their venom into the eyes of their victims. The black mamba is one of the fastest and most dangerous snakes. Its venom is also used as a painkiller with the antibodies which doctors or chemists a biologist used to take from the snake and take the antibodies out of it to make a painkiller mixed with other additives. But the king cobra is one of the deadliest snakes in the world. It can kill an elephant and after merely an hour with a single bite. Its venom after the antibodies extracted also can be a cure for the worst pains, 20 times more effective than morphine. And the good side about it, it has no side effects. This is used for sometimes most military people instead of morphine because they become addicted to it if they have to have a serious operation. Now, the vaccine is used for these particular snakes, and actually everything I'm seeing you can find on YouTube or definitions about these particular snakes and Wikipedia. The vaccine's uses, these medications use proteins that dissolve blood clots and the skinny blood. Two medications are developed and used since 1998, actually to stop different diseases. These proteins have been conjointly used for those with coronary polyology to break down plaque buildup within the arteries. Can you believe that? Two medications are developed and used ever since 1998 to stop these two diseases that have been noticed. The proteins have been conjointly used for within coronary or polyology to break down plaque buildup within the arteries. Different snakes are found to carry proteins that considerate with different types of cancers. They're even working with cancers with this stuff. But now, all these cures and stuff that they found from experimentation, the chemists and the biologists, they work together, along with other things they're doing besides snake venom, to make these additives to develop cures for different problems that humans develop. But all these diseases are put on us for one particular reason. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 15 says, the Yahweh will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Israel, polluted word Egypt, but he will inflict them on all that hate you. You look at cholera, AIDS, Asian flu, smallpox, Spanish flu, Ebola virus, H1N1 or swine flu. You know, Esau had to change the name. He hated using that. So let's go to H1N1. The bird flu, avian influenza, or called H7N4 virus. Mad cow, I know a few people around have remembered that. Newcastle virus, or called the chicken disease. There's another one called Happy Lowbacker. Now we have the Yara virus, which came out in Brazil. This is a few weeks before the coronavirus was announced a few years ago. These are only just a few that were out of the 60-plus that are currently present. It makes you think about what was said in Matthew's chapter 16, verse 3, that you can recognize when it's bad weather outside, but you can't recognize something when it's right in front of you. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 58 to 62. 58 says, if you do not observe to do all the words of this law, Torah instructions that are written in this book, that thou may fearest the glorious and fearful name of the Yahweh thy Yahweh. 59. Then Yahweh will make all thy plagues wonderful and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and long continuance and sore suffering and long continuance. Moreover, 60, moreover, he will bring on thee all the diseases of Mizraim, through the word Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. 61, also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, Torah instructions, them the Yahweh will bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. 62, and thou shalt be left fewer in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh, the Yahweh. So now this is why we say, get yourself word up and the word of Yahweh. Know what he has for you and your family. And we do speak about that quite often on this program. So keep your Bibles open. Get word up in Yahuwah. I'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent materials, and that's what it's all about. And see, we come on this network for one reason and one reason only, to help our people. So we in gross darkness, according to, I think it's Isaiah chapter 60, we in gross darkness. And that's why we come prepared to help you understand. It's a lot of information, and just can't no one person bring you all the information. And that's why we have to set the body up. And when he put that spirit on the elder, put that spirit on myself, and got a spirit now on Sister D.T. Israel, to bring out message to help our people. So one thing about it is, for those that believe in Yahuwah and got something to say up Yahuwah, remember, this is a big job for us. In the 24th chapter, verse 13 and 14, it talks about in Matthew, this covenant, this teaching, got to go out throughout the whole world. It's going to take a whole lot of bodies that got the same mindset as you hear on this broadcast. Same broadcast when we come and leave this broadcast and go to Pal Talk and continue to try to get this word out. So we're going to bring in our Sister D.T. Israel, and she got a message from Yahuwah to tell you about some things. And see, what we got to do, we got to get this message out pertaining to what have been put on us to help our peoples. Our people think that one out saying got the message, and that do not have our message. So we look quick to catch the elder back on the turn at the end of the broadcast, and right now we're gonna go find Sister D.T. Israel and bring her in. And one thing about it, when you meet your sister, what a loud voice you say, Sister D.T. Israel. Yahuwah be with your seed royal.
And Yahuwah bless your seer, Israel of seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. There, Sister D.T. Israel, seed royal. That's excellent. See, Yahuwah, he got plenty to bring. And we as a body got to do it. So we know Yahuwah put a spirit on you. You got tons of research and
yes,
crossing the T and dotting the I. So take your time and let this national audience hear what Yahuwah has put on you to bring to this on part one, and we'll see you at the bottom of the same part number 14. You're on the clock. Come on.
All right. All right now. All right. All right. Bless you, Israel. All this tuning in. Bless you. Hallelujah, wow. I want to maybe correct myself from the previous broadcast. I need to, when I'm speaking, I need to let you all know that where I'm reading this information from, because there's a lot of misinformation and information out here on the social media that people are reading, and I don't want us to be, it to be confused that these words are my own. So from here on out, I will be citing the sources once or twice so that everybody can get it and you can go check it and you can decide for yourself what makes sense to you and what doesn't. Psalms 104, like the brother said, there are a lot of things, herbs and things, animals that we can use for our healing. That is true. But I'm focusing on the ones who are making merchandise of us. So Psalms 104, Yahuwah causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Genesis 1:29. And Yahweh said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So we have access to our real healing, not a Band-Aid. We can heal ourselves through obedience to Yahweh. So now I just want to read a letter from a doctor. His name is Dr. Frank Schallenberger, MD. He's also a homeopathic doctor. So he dabbles in the traditional, and he also dabbles in the homeopathic healing processes. And on his website, he operates a clinic, a chiropractic, it's called Hartley Chiropractic Scoliosis Center. And I believe it's in Arizona. So I don't think I'll be able to read all of it, but I'm going to read as much as I can. So pardon me if I'm reading a little fast. So this is his letter. It is entitled Letter from Frank Schallenberger, MD, HMD, regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. He says, dear patients and friends, last week I must have been asked 20 times about the new COVID vaccine. Here are my thoughts. Please pass this information on to many as you can. People need to have fully informed consent when it comes to injecting foreign genetic material into their bodies. One, the COVID vaccines are mRNA vaccines. mRNA vaccines are a completely new type of vaccine. No mRNA vaccine has ever been licensed for human use before. Absolutely no idea what to expect from this shot. We have no idea if it will be effective or safe. Okay. Traditional vaccine simply introduces pieces of a virus to stimulate an immune reaction. The new mRNA vaccine is completely different. It actually injects transfect molecules of synthetic meaning man-made, engineered, not for human use. Synthetic genetic material from non-human sources into our cells. Once in the cells, the genetic material interacts with our transfer RNA, which is natural to our body. They abbreviated tRNA. We have RNA in our bodies just like we have DNA. It transfers to our RNA to make a foreign protein that supposedly teaches our body to destroy the virus being coded for. Note that these newly created proteins are not regulated by our own DNA and are thus completely foreign to our cells. What they are fully capable of doing is unknown. They simply don't know. They have not had time. The big pharma has not had time to, it's too new. They don't know. The RNA molecule is vulnerable to destruction. So in order to protect the fragile RNA, the mRNA strands, while they are being inserted into our DNA, they are coated with pegylated lipid nanoparticles. That is that polyethylene glycol that I've been talking about. That is the chemical that packages all of the other chemicals so that, and in nanoparticles, that means they're very, very microscopic so that they can be put into a syringe, into a vial, and put into the syringe to go inside your cell. This coating hides the mRNA from our immune system, which ordinarily which ordinarily would kill any foreign material injected into the body. So ordinarily, your body would kill a foreign substance. But under these conditions, that's not happening. Your body is not ordinarily doing what it was designed to do. Because of their effect on the immune system balance, several studies have shown them to induce allergies and autoimmune diseases. And if you check that VAERS site with the CDC, you will see the list and the numbers of these allergic reactions and these diseases that people are coming down with. It's trickling out, but nevertheless, it's happening. Additionally, pegylated lipid nanoparticles have been shown to trigger their own immune reactions and to cause damage to the liver. These new vaccines are additionally contaminated with aluminum, mercury, and possibly formaldehyde. The manufacturers have not yet disclosed what other toxins they contain. Now, I'm going to leave off there, but I want everyone to be clear. This letter is sent from Dr. Frank Schallenberger, MD, regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. And these are questions that we need to be asking ourselves and thinking about what may happen to you, your family, loved ones, by allowing your body to be used as a guinea pig, because Big Pharma don't know. They don't know it. They may know, but they're not saying that. They're not revealing it, but neither here nor there. We have to do our research. We have to be obedient, and we have to keep our bodies as healthy as possible with the information that's out here. So I will see you on the second part with the rest of the letter, and we'll go from there. Hallelujah, Kwa. Hallelujah, Kwa. Hallelujah, Kwa.
Excellent. Well, like I said again, we come for one reason, to pray our peoples, and we come on these broadcasts 6 nights a week to give you sound information. It's time for us now to evaluate some things. To help yourself, before you can help your family, you got to help yourself. So we come on this network, but Pat, we just don't pick this up because the broadcast is not on. We got some 5526 in us called When Yahweh Came to the Temple of Yahweh Daily, and he said to put this information on the children of Israel. So we know, as a people, we in bad shape. And the only answer for us is find out what these scriptures are saying, then apply these scriptures to help ourselves first, then others. So when the elder, Sister D.T. Israel, come on the network before me to inform you of information, and that's all we can do, is give you information. It's up for you to check it out. Be like Marin in the 17th chapter, verse 10 and 11. Search the scriptures daily to see his soul and search this information. Because remember one thing, we don't have to be in the condition we're in right now, because Yahweh have put us in this predicament. And like I said again, we'll see exactly what he put on this lesson in the best edition called Thursday evening. We're going to leave it like that. I like what I'm hearing. I tell you like it is, I like what I'm hearing. And I know one thing, Yahweh got this ministry to help the known world on putting the finger on those that have misinformation of. I can leave it like that. So we're going to find Brother Yahweh Israel on a special edition called Thursday evening. We're just going to see which way it goes. I mean, I'm happy for one thing about it. I want all the James 5:20 I can get in Matthew 25:21. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And if you know you got a calling on you, step to the plate in urgency and let's help our nation that is scattered to the four corners of the globe, the world, and they in bad shape. But we can help them. Do what? The word of Yahweh. Never said on that. We'll leave it like it is. I'm happy, so we'll catch the hell on the bottom part, and we'll catch such a deep key Israel on the bottom part to get their closing statement on page 14. Take notes. Do your research. Help yourself. Help your family. How you do it in the word of Yahweh. So when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Yahweh Israel, Yahweh be with you, F.C. Royal.
Well, bless you, see Israel. F.C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Brother Yahweh Israel. You know, I know you basically like information too, so what do you think what you just got through hearing before we kind of get something going on according to Scripture? So what is your take on what you're hearing there? You think we hearing things that is beneficial to our nation? What is your thoughts on it, Brother Yahweh Israel? Come on.
I just say hallelujah, Yahweh. Information is necessary, and we want to thank Yahweh for Brother Tiv, Elder Tiv, and Sister DT Israel for bringing that information to the nation of Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see, can we get some information to this national audience? Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Yahweh Israel, special edition called Thursday. Let's get something going on. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. "And that very same hour the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say." And I believe that. And that's why we know one thing, that the world is restless because they know somewhere down the line on somebody's watch, and they don't want to come on their watch as we pray this people with the information that we need to know. So there's no accident in Almighty Yahweh, but he made up a profound statement in Jeremiah 28 verse 6 and 89. Did he tell Jeremiah a profound statement? Before you read that, pull the resume up of Jeremiah and 1 verse 4. What is his resume first? 1 verse 4 and 9. We want to hear Jeremiah's resume. See, is he what hearing first? Let's see what it says in 1, Jeremiah 1, 4 and 9. What does it say there, Brother Yahweh Israel? Let's see if we kick it off right there. Come on.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4, verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. "Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, say, verse number 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Behold, I came forth out of the womb. I sanctified thee and ordained thee a seer unto the nation." Verse number 9. "Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Yahweh said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth."
So when Jeremiah is talking, that's Yahweh the one doing the talking. He said, "I'll put my words in Jeremiah's mouth." That's supposed to be the one you're going to see was the seer. And Jeremiah made a profound statement in the 16th chapter. He called you by, he gave you a nickname. But Jeremiah didn't give you his nickname. Yahweh had the nickname already from the Father, and he gave to the Son. The Son brought to the mental spirit. Then Jeremiah said, You know that Yahweh gave you a nickname. He called you. And what do he call you? Your nickname. So you know, the world will give you a lot of nicknames too. But I tell you one thing. Ignore the world's nickname and see what Yahweh call you. And I tell you what, why don't you figure out what this nickname is all about when it talks about it in 16 and 17. What is the nickname Yahweh gave to his people? We're going to find out what is their nickname in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. Let us say that, Brother Yahweh, Israel.
Book of Jeremiah chapter 11, verse number 16. Verse number 17 reads, from Jeremiah 11, verse 16, Yahweh call your name a green olive tree, bearing of goodly fruit, with the noise of a great turmoil ye have kindled fire upon it. The branches of it are broken. Verse 17, Yahweh of hosts that planted thee have pronounced the evil against you, for the evil of the family of Israel, northern kingdom, and for the family of Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger and offer an incense unto Baal.
Ain't that something? You mean he gonna give you a nickname? Then said, I gave you a nickname, and the nickname I gave you, according to Isaiah 5, verse 4, can you help me out in 5, verse 4? So I gave you a nickname. So you know what your nickname is, 12 tribes of Israel? Your nickname, Yahweh call you a green olive tree, fair and goodly fruit. That was your nickname he gave you. But what happened? Let's see what he says in Isaiah 5, verse 4. What he says to another seer in Isaiah before Jeremiah concerning you.
Book of Isaiah 5, verse number 4 reads, What could have been done more to my vineyard? I have not done in it. Wherefore, when I look, that I should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes.
Did you see the man call you? Now he'll call you a grape. Now you got to be called a wild grape. He said, now all that he did for you, he said, what else could I have done for my vineyard that I didn't do? He said, so what I looked for was the grapes to. And we read the last night lesson, so if you miss a lesson, you miss a lot. He talks about the grapes last night lesson, so I behoove you to make sure you got that down pat. But we ain't going back over that. So he say, I call you a grape. And when I look for to really just brag about the grapes, you go wild on me. So you see what he said? You went wild on me. So he called you a grape that went wild on him. And, I got to push this a little bit. And what else did he say about you? See, if you get all your nicknames on the table, then you start looking at these things. Remember, he had to speak to you not like a novel, but in parables. But you're supposed to know all these nicknames he installed on you. Let's go to Psalm 1:1, 1, 2, and 3. Let's look at another nickname he called you. He got another nickname on you in Psalms 1:1, 1, 2, and 3. Let's see what nickname he got on you in Psalms. What's the reading that, Brother Yahweh Israel? 1:1, 2, and 3.
The book of Psalms, chapter 1. Verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 read. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man and woman that walketh not in the counsel of the Yahweh, that standeth in the way of sinners, that sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse number 2. But their delight is in the Torah instruction of Yahweh, and in his Torah instruction do they meditate day and night. Verse number 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of the water, bringing forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever they do it shall prosper.
Now, he compared you to like a tree. Now, one thing about a tree, I know one thing about a tree. If you go to the store and come back, that tree ain't going nowhere. I mean, wind can blow and everything. So he called you a tree. You know what that tree means? That tree means that you, when you rooting and grounding and Yahweh, you will have on you, and you will not do Joel chapter 2, last verse of 7. So now the man called you. He called you a tree now. And I know, and you know too, if you park your car and bump that tree ain't going nowhere. Your car going to get dented up, but that tree will be there. Every time you try to squeeze in that parking place in that tree, kick that car every time, that tree ain't going nowhere. So he compares you to a tree, a green olive tree, meaning that you're supposed to be unmovable, and you're supposed to understand what he told Joel in 2 verse 7. What did he tell Joel in 2 verse 7 there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of Joel 2, verse number 7 reads, and they shall not break their ranks.
One thing about it, a tree cannot break their ranks. That means you never get caught up with anything if you know, if you've been raised up to understand one thing. Yahweh got you as a tree. He got you as a green olive tree. That's unmovable. I don't see wind blow and all type of things happen. I don't see lightning hit the tree, might knock a block off of it a little bit, knock about 4 or 5 limbs off of it. But guess what? That root of that tree ain't went nowhere. So Yahweh has compared you to that. And matter of fact, Isaiah picked up on that. And he came back and said some more about it in 61, 1, 2, and 3. In fact, let's just read verse 3. Let's look at Isaiah 61, verse 3. Once you understand that Yahweh has put many titles on you, nicknames, and so when you read these names, they're talking about you 12 tribes. You're not going to be taught this anywhere else. Let's see what it says in Isaiah 61, verse 3. Look what he said he did.
Isaiah 61, verse number 3. Go point unto them the morning Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They might be called trees of righteousness, planted at Yahweh, that he might be glorified, honored.
Call them what? What he said? He said he, people is called trees of what? You know what trees of righteousness mean? Trees of righteousness. He said now he don't say you a tree of righteousness. But then when we do the bench and the Paul, verse 3, the trees of righteousness, what are they doing, Brother Yahweh Israel? And bench and the Paul, verse 3. What is the tree of righteousness doing? So he tells Isaiah, he said, Isaiah, you know the people that you are over, they are the trees of righteousness. But did you know what told, whatever verse I just said, in the vision of Paul? Paul tried to run from this thing, but the middle spirit took hold to him and said, look here, I want you to put something down. All that running and ducking and hiding out, you put down what I tell you put down, Paul. And what did he put down? As a matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'll take it now. I got a precept something behind that. After we read that one verse 6. See, you never know what's going to be on the tape. I never know. So when you're hearing something, you go with the spirit of Yahweh. But the vision of Paul says what? Let's say that, Brother Yahweh Israel.
Reading from the vision of Paul, verse number 3. And it reads, while I was in the body in which I was snatched up to the third heaven, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, speak to the people. He said, when will you transgress? And he sinned upon sin. Came Yahweh who made you. You are the sons and daughters of Yahweh doing the works of the devil.
He said, you are the sons and daughters of Yahweh, but you are doing the works of the devil. Your whole life is watching that one eye Satan. And you make all your moves according to that one eye Satan. You doing the works of the devil. And he said you are a tree of righteousness. Now, that's big talk to be called a tree of righteousness. Now, you know what I want to do? I want to take a look at something. I need to see, you know, I think what you want to do, I think you have to raise the ball up on this right here. Let's run to the ninth chapter. Let's see, when Paul was told this, let's see, can we run back and get Paul's resume? But last night, we're taking care of that you was a great in 2 Ezra chapter 9. So if you missed that lesson, shame on you if you didn't go back over that, because all this information is going to come back up on you somewhere in a second. And you're going to find out who's who and who's not. And that's why we come humble enough to try to show you that only way you're going to learn this thing, you're going to have to be a tree of righteousness. And matter of fact, the biblical definition of righteousness is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 25. Is it right, Brother Yahya Israel? What's the biblical definition of righteousness? He said, you're supposed to be a green olive tree, a tree of righteousness, but you're doing the works of Satan the devil. And that the man just said, let's back up and see exactly what he's trying to say about being a tree of righteousness by looking at the 6th chapter, verse 25 of Deuteronomy. What that supposed to mean there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 25 reads, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these Torah instructions before Yahweh or Yahweh, as he have commanded us.
Well, green olive tree, the tree of righteousness, he tell you the Torah instruction is your roadmap to success of Yahweh. And you know what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13? And we'll keep reading until we get our point. So, man, look what we'll gain out of hearing that 1-2 punch. And the spirit of Yahweh, have whatever we had on our mind, we just came with open mind. We know we're going to hear something. And Brother Yahweh said, we need information. And that's what we come to bring you, sound information. So get in where you fit in with the 6 anointed camps. We're here to help you understand your only way back is understanding the power of the word of Yahweh that's written in this book. So now, what are we reading, Brother Yahdai Israel? What are we reading?
Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 13 reads, Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, well, where shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, you do men light a candle to put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, when they give it light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, that your light so shine before men and women, that they may see your good works and honor your Father, which is in heaven.
Wait a minute, Brother Yahdai, that's a big statement in verse 16 now. You mean by letting our light shine, if we let our light shine, what do we be doing that we don't know of, but we really be doing what in verse 16? What do we be doing by letting our light shine in verse 16?
Look at Matthew 5, verse 16. And honor your Father, which is in heaven.
You be honoring your Father in heaven when you let your light shine. You don't hide your light, see, right? Do you know what your light is? Huh? That you can read? 15 of Numbers. You don't let 15 of Numbers. 37 down to verse 40. Do you know what your light is? You don't hide your light, see, right? Do you know what your light is that your father can look down and see that light? Do you know what it is? Let's go read it out of the heavenly tablets. What's your light that those be seen among men and women? David. What is that light? Let's go to 15, chapter 37 through 40. What does it say?
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse number 37 through 40 reads. Book of Numbers 15, verse 37. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38. Speak unto the family of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the border a ribbon of blue. Verse 39, it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, and do them, that you seek not after your own mind, your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. Verse 14.
The only way you please. Go ahead.
Verse number 40. That you may remember and do all my Torah instructions and be righteous until you are Yahuwah.
You know, I get excited every now and then about Yahuwah is because it's not what we did yesterday. I'm trying to get my 324 in right now so I can have me some sweet sleep. So I'm telling you something, Steve Rush. Listen to me. The man got all type of callings on you. He got all type of nicknames on you. But he also picked the people. He didn't just take you from anywhere. Do you know where he's taking you from? Let's go to Isaiah 41 and find out where you came from. See, you got to know, is it shameful being the one that he chose him? The shame of it? Look what Yahuwah did in the 41st chapter, verse 89. Let's see where you came from. Now we're going to find out from the mouth of the seer exactly where you came from that we can read. We're going to read it right now in Isaiah 41. And you have to be able to exhibit the tale. You know, they tell you that you are a minority. You say, well, not according to the Bible. No, I'm not a minority. I'm according to your mindset. I'm a minority. But according to the Bible, this is who I am, and this is who I'm from in this book called Isaiah 41, 89. See, it's time for some boldness to step forward. But your boldness that you are, it must 41. 89, you can talk low as you want, but long that scripture reading. Yahuwah raise your voice up on that. That scripture will raise your voice up anywhere it goes. Let's see what happened over here. Come on, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Let's knock that out. In the 41st chapter, verse number 89, what it say?
Book of Isaiah 41, verse number 8, verse number 9 reads. Book of Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Israel whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Verse number 9, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, call you from the chief men thereof, and said unto you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you away.
Thank you, see. Ain't that lovely? Ain't that nice? Ain't that nice? See, this is the way that if your babies through you understood your grandbabies, your niece, your nephew, then they won't be so quick to try to, you know, put that bang on nobody or hit them with anything that's going to harm them if they know their position and the person that you stand before position. You won't be killing it for your brothers and sisters if you had taught them the word of Yahuwah. If you're from the chief men, this thing, you. So how is the chief men and limits are always being a tangle that's contrary to the Bible. Asiel picked up on this. He just didn't use the name because he knew that you knew the name. Now here comes Asiel. He's going to pick up on in the 10th chapter of Sirach. We're going to look at him getting warmed up into 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we'll skip down to him going for the home run hit in 2021. See, let me tell you something. That's why I'm very excited to hear the progress of the Six Anointed Council, because this message got to get louder and louder and louder. But it got to spread with one mind, one understanding. And our main goal is to pray our peoples among the partners of the 17 nations for Yahweh to soundly make his move and do what he said he's going to do to them. You waiting on him? So I love to hear. But let your light shine, see, right? Your light is the fringes. And obeying your mighty one, what kind of way? As is written. As is written, see, right? So when the seal jumped up in there in the 10th chapter, you know Isaiah was for him. So he didn't have to put all that good stuff that he put in there, but he put just enough in. Because remember, everybody in captivity now. So you can't talk the way was talked in Moses' days or in Elijah's days. So Sirach had to use the street, but he knew that you knew because you were sitting in a ministry that wasn't the congregation of the dead. So he had to say what he said, but what did he say? We could all read together. Sirach, chapter 10, 1 through 4, 20 and 21. Wait, what can we read out of this, Brother Yahdai Israel? Come on.
Book of Sirach, verse number 1 through 4. Verse 20 and verse 21 reads, Book of Sirach 10, verse number 1. A wise seer will instruct his people. In the government of a prudent man, seers is well ordered. Verse number 2. As the seer of the people, as the judge of the people is himself, so is often. What manner of man the ruler of the city is, such are all they that dwell therein. Verse number 3. An unwise king destroys his people, but through the prudence of them which are in authority, the city shall be inhabited. Verse number 4. The power of the earth is in the hand of Yahweh. In due time he will set over it one that is profitable. Verse number 20. Among brethren, he that is chief is honorable. So are they that fear Yahweh in his eyes. Verse 21. The fear of Yahweh goeth before the obtaining of authority, but roughness and pride is the losing thereof.
Now, brother Yahweh Israel, now you don't drop the bombshell in verse 20. Do we see this section on the camps? Do you see it? You see what's written in verse 20? Read verse 20 again. Carefully, the six anointed camps. See what he just dropped, that bombshell, in verse 20. Do you see it? You caught it? What does it say in verse 20?
The book of Sirach 10, verse number 20. Among brethren, he that is chief is honorable. So are they that fear Yahweh in his eyes.
Now who you think that message to? Among brothers, get out of chief. Is honorable, and they that fears from Yahweh in his eyes. See, Roy, this is talking about you. You ought to see, we was told these things, but we ain't told nothing now, and that's why we coming now, and probably you'll catch this thing. You are the chief of the men and women, and he told you. He made it plain to you, Numbers 15:15. He made it plain to you, chapter 15:15 and 16 and 29. Do you know he made it plain to you, already written Look what he got written in his book, Mr. and Mrs. Keith, Numbers 15, 15, and 16, and 29. What he got written about the Yahdai Israel?
The book of Numbers 15, verse number 15, 16, verse number 29, read. Book of Numbers 15, verse 15. When ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation of Israel, and also for the strength that sojourning with you, and ordinance forever in your generation, as you are, so shall the stranger be for Yahweh. Verse 16, one tour of instruction and one manner shall be for you, for the stranger that sojourning with you. Verse 29, shall have one tour of instruction for him that sinneth through ignorance, but for him that is born among the children, family of Israel, for the stranger that sojourning among them.
Mm-hmm. What did he say in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 and 22? What did he say in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 and 22?
The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse number 19, verse number 22 reads. Book of Matthew 4, verse number 19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women. Verse 22. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him.
Hmm. Follow him. Okay, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going for us to follow you? And you're going to make us fishers of men and women. Where are you going? Maybe we'll find out where you're going in verse 23 and 24. Where are you going, Yahweh the Son? You want me to follow you? Where are you going? What's the program for you that we can read on where you're going to follow you? Let's see where you're going to. Verse 23 and 24.
The book of Matthew 5, verse 23. And Yahweh the Son went about all Galilee, teaching in their temple, teaching the covenant of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Verse 24. The same was throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torment. Those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatics, and those that had palsy, and he healed them.
So you see what's going on here? Do you see it? This is on the cap. You see? Following Yahweh, that means following Yahweh, then you have to be Ezra 8, verse 3 and 7. So when you're following Yahweh, Yahweh wasn't teaching. So that means one thing about it, six anointed camp. Your teaching have to be up to standards. And matter of fact, you got a four-letter word on your teaching supposed to be, and it's supposed to be examined by the seers, the elders. Your teaching is supposed to be a 1 Ezra 8, 3, and 7 type of teacher, if you understand your role. What does it say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 1 Ezra, chapter 8, verse number 3, verse number 7, read. Book of 1 Ezra, chapter 8, verse number 3. This Ezra went up from Babylon as a scribe, seer, being very ready. The Torah and Shucks of Moses. It was given by the Yahweh of Israel. Verse number 7. For Ezra had very great skill, so that he omitted nothing of the Torah instruction of Yahweh, but taught all Israel the ordinance and judgments.
He had great skills. And guess what his great skill was? And he was very ready in what? The Torah instruction. He had great skills in the Torah instruction, Steve, right? he understood what it says in 2 and 3, verse 3 on Leviticus. He understood what Leviticus 2 and 3, verse 3 said. Well, matter of fact, what do Leviticus 2 and 3, verse 3 say anyway?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse number 3 reads, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A righteous assembly shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings.
The Sabbath day is a righteous gathering. The Sabbath day is a righteous gathering. You assemble yourself in the six anointed camps. It is a righteous gathering, the Sabbath day. That's what it is, really. Huh? So he says, now Paul pulled that verse. He pulled that verse all the way on the right side of the book. Paul pulled that verse. He was invited to the great big southern temple of Yahweh, and he pulled it in the book of Hebrews, a little title called Hebrew. He pulled that verse. Let's see what he says in the 10th chapter. Let's see what he says in the 10th chapter, verse 22. And check it out. Verse 28. He pulled that verse. Let's see, what did he say when he got to the great big southern temple of Yahweh? He pulled that verse. And what did he say in 10, pick up at verse number 22 to 28? What did he say about Yahweh?
The book of Hebrew. Do the word Hebrew. Chapter 10. Verse number 22 through 28 reads. The book of Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with our true mind and full assurance of the covenant, having our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our covenant without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, after taking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fear and indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Verse 28, he that despises Moses' Torah instruction dies without mercy under two or three witnesses.
Skip down to verse 36 and take it down to verse 39. Listen to this. Now, Paul's still talking. Oh, Peter just ran back. Oh, Paul rolling. He rolling. The southern kingdom, he pulled that verse from way over there. Don't forsake the family. The gather together because you see the days approaching. So he started rolling. Now, look what Paul says in 36 to 39. Look what he says here. Same book.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse number 36. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by the covenant. If any man or woman draw back, I shall have no pleasure in them. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our life.
You ever seen a strong wind? It'll blow a tree. It'll bend back like a slingshot. But boy, that root ain't coming up. He said, look here. He called you a green olive tree, right? So that means that when he was telling you something, he was telling your potential of your DNA that he put in you a comparable something that you can bump into. You always see a tree. He said, you is the green olive tree, you. You might get bent back, but you'll never break that. But the root of you will never come up. You will know what the man's saying. He's going to pass you something that will be right there when you came in this world, and it'll be right there when you leave. The olive tree, rooted. I've seen some of the trees, some wind blowing on that little one I say. It might bend all the way back like a slingshot. Might knock off a couple of limbs off of it. But that root ain't going nowhere. Now, he can pass you to that seed right here. Ain't that something to think about? Keep that in your mind. Now, get a couple more in there, brother. WCC wanted me to, they interrupt me for about 10 minutes. So, only way I can answer you, WCC, about this up in the way that you think that is going on, that is misteaching, I can't cover that in this way. But what I will cover you, what happened, Adam and Eve, page 17 at W. Yahdai Israel, 24 verse 6. I will let you know that theory of what they talks about, the up and away, it's not correct. We'll take you to the foundation of people's, what they had to do, what they was told. We go on to on page 17 of Adam and Eve, 24 verse 6 says what?
The book of First Adam and Eve, 24, verse number 6.
Yes, sir. What does 24 verse 6 say?
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 24, verse number 6 reads, "And now, behold, I have accepted your offering, O Adam, but the days of the covenant wherein I have bound thee are not fulfilled. When they are fulfilled, then will I bring you back into the garden."
Yes, they right. You tell them, Adam, you know, you messed up real bad, you know, we can go further, we make a meal out of it. But he said, I'll tell you what, once the covenant is fulfilled, once the six anointed camps have put this word out real good and the covenant is fulfilled, then, Adam, I'm going to bring you back to the garden. Now, you know, Adam don't have no up in the way story. So he tell him, I'm going to bring you back to the garden. Go to the page 27, Adam and Eve, 42, 1 through 11. Let's get a second witness on that. Let's get a precept on that. To be clear, so when you hear the camps and the 17 nations teach on one, taking the one left, and the up in the way story, understand one thing. Yahweh is telling Adam exactly how it's going to be. And Adam and Eve 42, 1 through 11, listen to it. What does it say there in Adam and Eve 42, 1 through 11, Brother Yahweh Israel? Let's see if we tie this in. Come on.
First book of Adam and Eve 42. Number 1 through 11 read. First book of Adam and Eve 42, verse number 1. And came the word of Yahweh to Adam, and said unto him, verse number 2, O Adam, as to what thou sayest, bring me into a land where there is rest. It is not another land than this, but it is the kingdom of heaven, where alone there is rest. Verse number 3, for thou canst not make thy entrance into it at present, but only after thy judgment is passed and fulfilled. Verse number 4, then will I make thee go up into the kingdom of heaven, you and your righteous seed, and will give thee and them the rest thou ask for at present. Verse number 5, and if thou said, give me of the water of life, that I may drink and live, it cannot be this day, but on the day that I shall descend into hell and break the gates of brass, and bruise in pieces the kingdom of iron. Verse number 6. Then will I in mercy save you and your righteous seed, to give them rest in my garden. And that shall be when the end of the world is come. Verse number 7. And again, as regard the water of life thou seekest, it will not be granted thee this day, but on the day that I shall shed my blood upon thy head in the land of Golgotha. Verse number 8, for my blood shall be the water of life unto thee at that time, and not to thee only, but unto all those of your seed who shall believe in me that it be unto them for rest forever. Verse number 9. Yahweh said again unto Adam, O Adam, when thou was in the garden, these trials did not come to thee. Verse 10. But since thou didst transgress my Torah instructions, all these sufferings that come upon thee. Verse number 11. Now also does thy flesh require food and drink, then of that water that floweth by thee on the face of the earth.
Mm. So now, that is what that says, right? And so the teachers of this in St. John chapter 3, verse 1, 3, bring his resume up. See, that's why you always got to have your sources and your resume on the table. You got your sources and resume on the table. You let it roll. Because Yahweh gave you the power to deal with the same sources, resumes, St. John 3, 1, 3, 9, and 10. So we're going to find out this guy for the makeup of a final statement, but we got to get his sources, his resume on the table. And it's up to you to take heed to the story that you hear and know the thorough breakdown. St. John 3, 1, 3, 9, and 10 says what?
The book of St. John, chapter 3, verse number 1, verse 3, verse number 9, and verse 10 reads. Book of St. John 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Yahweh Judah. Verse number 3. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, that the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how could these things be? Verse 10. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel? Know of not these things.
So he said, how are you gonna be a teacher and a master and a master teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? So right there in there, Yahweh sit in the temple daily, took him to the side and told him, now go put the book together in the book of Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9. Now put the book together. Now you see, so whatever Nicodemus say, you see what court and temple that he was in. He was in the temple of Yahweh, and Yahweh said daily, he said, you're going to be a teacher in Israel, a master, and you don't know these things? You don't know that up and away story don't mean anything? Let me break it down for you, put it in right. So we know Nicodemus is just legit as anybody. What did Nicodemus say in the 14th chapter 1 through 9 and the closing statement of Brother Yahweh Israel? We'll leave it like that. We'll leave it like that until we eyeball the Sabbath day. Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9, the closing statement, come on.
Reading from the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse number 1 through 9. Book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse number 1 through 9. The book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse number 1. Nicodemus 14, verse 1. Adam calls us Seth to relate what he heard from Michael, the arch minister spirit, when he sent him to paradise to entreat Yahweh to anoint his head in his seat. But when the first man, our father Adam, heard these things, that Yahweh the Son was baptized in Jordan, called out to his son Seth and said, verse number 2, declare to your son, patriarch and seer, all those things which thou didst hear from Michael, the arch minister spirit, when I sent thee to the gates of paradise to entreat Yahweh that he would anoint my head when I was sick. Verse number 3. Then Seth coming near to the patriarch and seer said, I said, when I was praying to Yahweh at the gate of paradise, the elder minister spirit of Yahweh, Michael appeared unto me saying, I'm sent unto thee from Yahweh. I'm appointed to preside over human bodies. Verse number 4. I tell thee, Seth, do not pray to Yahweh in tears, and entreat him for the oil of the tree of mercy, with to anoint your father Adam for his headache. respect, because thou cannot by any means obtain it till the last day and time, namely, the 5,500 years be passed. Verse 6, then will Yahweh the Son, the most merciful Son of Yahweh, come on earth to raise again the human body of Adam, and at that same time to raise the bodies of the dead. When he cometh, he will be baptized in Jordan. Verse number 7. Then with the oil of his mercy, he will anoint all those who believe on him. The oil of his mercy will continue to future generations, for those who shall be born of water and the Spirit unto eternal life. Verse number 8. When at that time the most merciful Son of Yahweh, Yahweh the Son, shall come down on earth, he will introduce our father Adam into paradise, to the tree of mercy. Verse number 9. When all the patriarchs, seers, heard all these things from Seth, they rejoiced.
Now listen to that. Read 6 through 10 again. One more time, brother. Y'all. Man, did you hear that? So, did you hear how when you're in the school of Yahweh, everything is fits together. And it ain't no mystery. It ain't going to eat isn't here. Nicodemus got to write down because you don't find it in canon. Canon is from Satan the devil. Here goes a story right here. Exactly what's going to be happening. You see, here it isn't here. Nicodemus, trained by Yahweh the Son. He wrote exactly how it's going to be. Ain't no up and away story. Six through nine again. One more time, Brother Yahweh Israel. 6 through 9. Listen one more time. Come on.
Look at Nicodemus 14, verse number 6. Then will Yahweh the Son, the most merciful Son of Yahweh, come on earth to raise again the human body of Adam, and at the same time to raise the bodies of the dead. And he cometh, he will be baptized in Jordan. Verse 7. Then with the oil of his mercy, he will anoint all those who believe on him. And the oil of his mercy will continue to future generations, for those who shall be born of water and of the righteous spirit unto eternal life. Verse number 8. When at that time the most merciful Son of Yahweh shall come down on earth, he will introduce our father Adam into paradise to the tree of mercy. Verse 9. And all the patriarchs and seers heard all these things from Seth, they rejoiced.
Who heard it? All the patriarchs and the seers. Hey, sooner or later, one day you're gonna recognize there's a seed in your midst. It's bringing you this information to get to the elder. Take it on the account. You understand what's saying? So we know what's going on. It's up to you. You just gonna crap out and don't get anywhere you fit in at. Brother Yahweh Israel, until we eyeball the Sabbath day, what's your closing statement behind that? Come on.
Hallelujah, Kwa, hallelujah, Kwa, hallelujah, Kwa. Love the way it's rolling out, see Israel, of see Royal. Great word, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, Kwa.
Hallelujah, Kwa. WCC, our leaders got a lot of questions to ask. Well, sooner or later, all the floodgates is going to look for the six anointed camps. So we will be ready, you hear. As soon as you go find the elder, bring the elder back here for his closing statements on 14, K-14. Remember one thing, the elders is in the bullpen right now getting ready for that blog talk, Power Talk Radio, along with Mother or Dr. Israel, powerful reader. They all be... Got any questions or comments or tell you anything we have said? You just go on over there after this broadcast and get in where you fit in at. We're here for you to give you nothing but one thing, the word of Yahweh. So we're going to bring the elder in and get his closing thoughts on page 14. Mr. Tibbs, what is your closing thoughts on page 14? You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. As I said before, we have a glorious attending number tonight that came to hear Yahweh's words. And most of us, we're here, we're grabbing Yahweh's words right now. And I would imagine that Most of them are listening, have their Bibles open, because we don't want to be misinformed. We have to be on the other side, because we want to beware by knowing the scriptures. We got to be aware of those that camouflage evil teachings for righteous learning, using Bible scriptures, as I said before, like verbal weapons, which I've seen that before. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 3 says, "And every spirit that confess not that Yahuwah the Son is come in the flesh is not of Yahuwah. And this is the spirit of the anti-Yahuwah. Wherefore you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world." This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of misteachings and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcasts of Yahuwah's ministry. It comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word, connecting the books for your biblical education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. As I said before, this is information that we all came to seek. Now you found that what you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. And we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday, but now we do have a Sabbath class. For the members that don't know when the Sabbath is, the top part of the Sabbath current time is starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. On the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh. Right under the big line, after you click enter, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us to do in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give. What's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live? Also to build a school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of, hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself in tune with the feast days that come to you and your family and friends throughout the year. The calendar explains to your family in detail what the feast days are with biblical scriptures, when they begin and when they end. Well, the live program, this feature is only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine, right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're currently using two email addresses, which you all should know by now. The first is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH, @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answer, or related topics. The other is YHDH YSRAEL, as you might imagine, also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah and I, the first will be the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 600 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of the program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Fridays. This program will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. On the search line, type three words, Yakwa Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Just choose the program that you were late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. As I said earlier, we're in the process of making it possible to get a recording of any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day, a number of days. Now, another note, after the normal broadcast and during the broadcast at different times, we're also on Paltalk, listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Yakwa True Name Teachers. This is where Yakwa's word is also working. Online there to be to answer any Bible questions about the discussed Bible topics or topics put on the table either by Elder Josiah or Elder Mr. Tibbs, which is myself, with Seer Israel. No comments will be taken off topics or multiple text questions answered as I've seen before. Failure to follow these righteous acts, either Elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue to teach on Paltalk. Yahuwah be with you all. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, for Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches are covenants of the saints. So at this time, we will turn our program back over to our seer Israel. Well, I would say still keep your Bibles open. You're still in the learning process. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yakwa, the Elder, so we'll catch you all, and I'm excited to get over there to listen at all the questions and comments pertaining to it, wherever it's put together on Paltalk. Immediately following this broadcast, you get a chance to hear the Elder. The Elder bring the message, and Mother of Dr. Israel C. Ray, child of Yakwa Judah, get in that microphone and holler in that microphone. I like the spirit. I'll be there to hear me something. I'll be all ears, no doubt about it. That's wrapping this broadcast. All right, we're going to go back to the network and we'll look for Sister G. Israel. See if we find Sister G. Israel, travel y'all God Judah, and get up through his hearing and be ready for her again tomorrow at 7:30 for the most. So when you meet the sister, Sister G. Israel, tribe of y'all God Judah. That's why BJFC, right?
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's G Israel. But I think I need to go back and put a little bit more on so we clear now that Yahuwah and the Son will come down and get Adam up and all the dead that's righteous. But, you know, the story was told again by the seer. That's why I said the seers was very happy because they were one road and it was passed down to the seers. So I'll tell you what, let me beat this just a little bit there, G. Israel and 2nd Ezra. I want to beat it a little bit. I'm really focused. I'm going to be focusing in on verse 24, but we're going to 2nd Ezra 13, and we'll look at verse 16 down to verse 24, get down to verse 26, 29. 33-40. I repeat, 2 Ezra, chapter 13, verse 16-24, verse 26-29, 33-40. That's my final verdict. The world listening, Sister G. Israel, C. Roy, you on the clock, come out.
2 Ezra, chapter 13, verses 16-24. 26, 29, and verses 33-40. 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse 16. For as I conceive in mine understanding, woe unto them that shall be left in those days, and much more woe unto them that are not left behind. 17. For they that were not left were in heaviness. 18. Now understand I the things that are laid up in the latter days, which shall happen unto them, and to those that are left behind. 19. Therefore are they come into great perils and many necessities, like as these dreams declare. 20. Yet is it easier for him that is in danger to come into these things than to pass away as a cloud out of the world and not to see the things that happen in the last days. And he answered unto me and said, 21. The interpretation of the vision shall I show you, and I will open unto you the thing that you have required. 22. Whereas you have spoken of them that are left behind, this is the interpretation. 24. He that shall endure the peril in that time has kept himself. They that be fallen into danger are such as have works and faith, the belief in the covenant toward the Almighty. 24. Know this, therefore, that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead. 26. The same is he whom Yahuwah the Highest has kept a great season, which by his own self shall deliver his creature, and he shall order them that are left behind. 29. Behold, the days come when the Most High will begin to deliver them that are upon the earth. 33. And when all the people hear his voice, every man shall in their own land leave the battle they have. 33. Let me read that again. And when all the people hear his voice, every man shall in their own land leave the battle they have won against another. 34. And an innumerable multitude shall be gathered together as you saw them, willing to come and to overcome him by fighting. 35. But he shall stand upon the top of the mount of the city of David. 36. And Zion, polluted for the city of David, shall come and shall be showed to all men, being prepared and builded, like as you saw as the hill graven without hands. 37. And this is my son. And this, my son, shall rebuke the wicked inventions. And this, my son, shall rebuke the wicked inventions of those nations, which for their wickedness, their wicked life, are fallen into the tempest. 38, and shall lay before them their evil thoughts and the torments wherewith they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto a flame. And he shall destroy them without labor by Torah instructions, which is like unto fire. 39. And whereas you saw that he gathered another peaceable multitude unto him, 40, those are the 10 northern tribes, which were carried away prisoners out of their own land. In the time of, I think that says, Oshi, the king, whom Salmanar, the king of Asrus, led away captive, and he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land.
Mm-hmm. And get down to, in fact, we have a couple more verses on that right there, all right, because a couple more verses are there. So he says he know about them coming over here, but he gathered them that came over here. So he's going to say a word that we need to hear in the next two verses. What did he say there, Sister G? Next two verses.
Verses 41 and 42. But they took this counsel among themselves, that they would lead the multitude of the nations and go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt. 42, that they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, keep reading, because I want to read, unless you can look down there and pick it out where it says, they're getting ready to do such thing. I ain't going to say the word. I won't act like I'm surprised about it. Just keep reading, because he's going to make a profound statement. Keep going.
43. And they entered into Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river. 44. For the Most High then showed signs for them and held still the flood till they were passed over. 45. For through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half. And the same region is called Asrus. 46. Then dwelt they there until the latter time, and now when they shall begin to come. 47. The highest shall stay the springs of the stream again, that they may go through. Therefore sawest you the multitude with peace. 48. But those
that
be left
Hold
behind.
Hold that point right there. Come back and read verse 38 and 47. 38 and 47, that's what we need. We need verse 38, Second Ezra, whatever chapter you're in, verse 38 and 47. Listen what he says here, or we'll never forget. Verse 38 and 47, what does it say?
Second Ezra, chapter 13, verses 38 and 47. And shall lay before them their evil thoughts and the torments wherewith they shall begin to be tormented, which are like unto a flame. And he shall destroy them without labor by the Torah instructions, which is like unto fire. 47. The highest shall stay the springs of the stream again, that they may go through. Therefore, sawest you the multitude with peace.
So you see? So now you clear what's going to happen. He said he's going to destroy them by the Torah instruction. So it ain't done away with. Then he said he's going to bring them back again across the stream. Again, see right here. So you see, there it is right there. It's right there in verse 38 and 47. So the Torah instruction is going to be what? Going to seal your fate or deliver you up. It's the Torah instruction. There it is right there. And he told the seer, to Ezra, to let them know. This Torah instruction is going to make you or it's going to break you. It is right there in 38 and 47. Now, we're going to precept in St. John chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. This is what it says in St. John chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. This is real good. St. John chapter 12, 46 through 50. Sister G. Israel, come on.
John chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. 12 tribes of Israel. 48. He that rejected me and received not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me for instruction what I should say and what I should speak. 50. And I know that his for instructions is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
That big confidence of Israel. So we're clear that you will be judged the time about Torah instruction. So if you ain't got the Torah instruction right, that's what's going to judge you in the last day. And when he brings the people back again, he said what he'll be looking at is the Torah instruction, first five books. So whatever written in that first five books, I behoove you to have that right before his return. Let's go back to 2nd Ezra chapter 13. 2nd Ezra 13, there, Sister G. Israel. We're going to look at verse 54 down to verse 56. We're going to 2nd Ezra chapter 13, verse 54 to 56. What does that say there, Sister G. Israel?
2nd Ezra chapter 13, verses 54 through 56. For you have forsaken your own way and applied your diligence unto my Torah instructions and sought it. 55. Your life hath you ordered in wisdom and has called understanding your mother. 56. And therefore have I showed you the treasures of the highest after other 3 days, I will speak other things unto you and declare unto you mighty and wondrous things.
So you see, the seer had the information. So he was told soundly to pass it on to the next seer, the next seer, the next seer. There's the point, see, Roger. That's exactly how it's going to happen. But Yahweh will be looking at the Father's book called the first five books. If you don't align with the first five books, you're going to pay the price. And that's what he's going to, again, judge you by is the first five books. But the 17 nations told you is done away with. I beg the difference. It's going to be on the clock to the end. So now, with all that understanding, we know why it's going to happen. They're going to bring them back again, right? So when you jump down and read this right here, Matthew is 24. Matter of fact, come back to 2nd Ezra, you're still in 13. Read verse 24 one more time. 2nd Ezra 13, verse 24.
Second Ezra chapter 13, verse 24. Know this therefore, that they which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead.
Now, hold that point in the head. Let's run through Matthew 24, verse 44, too. Let's run to Matthew chapter 24, verse 40, down to verse 42. When they say that, Sister G. Israel, C. Roy, Matthew 24, verse 40 to 42.
Piece 4. Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 through 42. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the one left. 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Yahweh does come.
The Israel, which one is best to be in the time appointed? Which one that you want to be? Which one do those that got ear to hear want to be? Taken or left?
They which be left behind are more blessed than they that be dead.
Excellent. Excellent, Sister G. Israel. So you see, it's what the world is going to take. I'm going to take you to the up and away. Up, up and away. Now we're going to show you where the up and away is going to. Now we're going to show you about the up and away. Here go the up and away. Here's where they're going. Up and away in Matthew 22. So, you see, they talk about 3.5 years, we'd be out of here. The word of church would be out of here. Yep. See, that's the point we tell you. Yep. Yep, but here go the ones that's going to be taken. Now we put the read the ones that's going to be up and away and taken. We're going to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse number 11 down to verse 13. Let's make a little meal out of it quick. Let's find out the one that's going to be taken, and as the moat call is on the way that you could be taken. Matthew 22, 11 down to verse 13.
Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 through 13. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. 12. And he says unto him, Friend, how camest you in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. 13. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's just something. So you mean, but you said one taken and one left. So we just read about one was what in verse 13, and where did he go? Where did he go in 13?
Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth into outer darkness.
Ain't that something? So you see, the one that's going to be taken, you see where he's going to. And also, you find out how important them friends is on. If the prison's got to be there, and you got to make sure you got that wedding garment on, we got some fringes on it. It's a friend. How do you come into the last final dance and you ain't got your fringes on? So you see how important the fringes is. And then another thing, when you is taken, you going to out of darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. of Fifth Avenue CC. Seer, can you give me a second witness? Well, WCC, we'll give you a second witness. You want to know a second witness? Okay. Let's run the 25th chapter of Matthew. Let's give him a second witness there. We're looking at verse 30 and 46. How about verse 30 and 46 in the 25th chapter? Let's see if we give the WCC, the 500 million members, a second witness. Verse 30 and 46. What does it say there?
Say it again. I know you said it three times.
Chapter 25, verse 30 and 46.
Yeah. Matthew, chapter 25, verses 30 and 46. Matthew 25, verse 30. And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Mm-hmm. And what he got written, if you try to cross up to the six of morning camps in verse 45, what do you got written?
Verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me.
Ain't that something? He said, you didn't leave them six of morning camps alone. He said, look here, they bringing this message. It's nothing you do right. Let's precept that to Acts chapter 5, 38 and 39. Let's get a precept out of there. This is the man saying. He said, by you interfering with the business of the six anointed camps, it's just like you did it to me. Now, you know, that's big talk with that scene right now. Look what he got written in 5, 38 and 39 of the book of Acts. What he got written after the years, Israel.
Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. 39. But if it be of Yahuwah, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against Yahuwah.
And what he got written on that in the heavenly tablet in 11:23 behind that thing, the numbers. What he got written? See, he got it written. I mean, you be hearing the 600 counts speak to you, but that be Yahuwah putting these words to tell you was written in Numbers 11, verse 23. What did it say?
Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23. Numbers 11, verse 23 reads, and Yahuwah said unto Moses, if Yahuwah's hand wax short, you shall see now whether my word shall come to pass unto you or not.
Okay, there it is. We're going to see what happens. So now, you asked a question about our Apostle Paul. Let's raise the bar for you. Let's run to Acts chapter 9, 1 through 4. And we'll look at verse 18 through 19, a closing statement there. G. Israel, action on your part again. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, 1 through 4, 18 through 19. Listen real good what Sister G. Israel put on the table. Acts chapter 9, 1 through 4, 8 through 19. And a closing statement come out.
Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 4 and 18 through 19. And Saul, yet breathing means and slaughter against the disciples, followers of Yahuwah went unto the high priest, too, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the temples, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, polluted for Yahdah Judah. 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why persecutest you me? 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with his followers, which were at Damascus.
Well, come on back. I ain't hear enough good reading. Come on back to verse 8 through 19. 8 all the way down to verse 19. But you talked of a powerful statement there. Come on back to verse 8 and take it down straight to 19. Straight down to 19. Come on.
And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. 10. And there was a certain follower at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said, Yahuwah in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Yahuwah the Son. 11. And Yahuwah the Son said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. 12. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive sight. 13. Then Ananias answered Yahuwah the Son, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, at Yahdah Judah. 14. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. 15. But Yahuwah the Son said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the ten northern tribes and kings and the children of Israel. 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, Yahuwah the Son, that appeared unto you in the way as you camest, has sent me that you mightest receive your sight and be filled with the righteous spirit. 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. 19. And when he had received meat, food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the followers which were at Damascus.
Sister G. Israel, read verse 18 again.
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
What do you, before this mass in the audience, what do you think happened right here, to the Israel? What do you think happened here in verse 18?
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight. He saw and arose and was baptized, baptized in the word.
Okay, what do you think happened here? What do you think happened in that verse 18? What do you mean by immediately... scales from his eyes, and I said, "Well, what do you go ahead and call that? Go ahead and call that Israel.
He was blind. Now he see. His eyes was crusted over, and it was moved, and he saw.
Okay, so he was blind, and so once the scale came off his eyes, he seen, huh? That what you get out of that?
That's what it says.
Okay. That what it says? Okay. Remember what we was reading, and come back to verse 4-6 for a minute. Come back to 9-4 down to verse 6. Come back to that for a minute. 9-4.
Verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest you me? And he said, Who are you, Yahweh? And Yahweh the Son said, I am Yahweh the Son, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. 6. And he trembled and astonished, said, Yahweh the Son, what will you have me to do? And Yahweh the Son said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do.
All right, good. Now come back to verse 18 again now. I'm going to give you one more shot now. Verse 18.
18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received the sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples' followers, which were at Damascus.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your final verdict on that again? What happened in verse 18? Now, draw the picture. Draw a picture of verse 18.
Ananias went there to the house to talk to Paul.
Uh-huh.
Then he received sight, and was baptized. And then he saw.
Okay. Okay, but what do it say in Psalms 119:104?
Psalm chapter 119 verse 104. Psalm chapter 119. Verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
All right, let's go to Job 41:15 and get the precept of what really happened. Let's precept that to make sure we know exactly what happened. Job 41:15. Listen good. Remember the scales fell from his eyes.
Job, we're going to precept that to Issachar's boy, 41:15. What did it say there to the G Israel?
Job, chapter 41, verse 15. His skills are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal.
His scale was his pride. You remember what he was doing? He was persecuting the descendants of those of Yahuwah. His pride had him do something, and he didn't know no Yahuwah, so now that pride fell from his eyes. So what fell from his eyes was not no physical scale, and now he knows that he was wrong on what he's doing, so what fell from his eyes was the pride that knew that he was doing totally wrong. After Ananias came in and put some book on him, he see that he was out of order for what he was doing. He said, Saul, why are you kicking against the prince? Why are you kicking against my people? He said, who are you, Yahuwah? He said, that's who I am. So that's what it was that fell from his eyes, the understanding that he was in error. You guys, this is G Israel.
Okay.
Read 41:15 to close. Read 41:15 of Job.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Job, chapter 41, verse 15. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal.
Mm-hmm. So it's sealed with that pride. He thought he was doing right, but he was in total wrong. That's my Bible, Sister G. Israel. Closing statement, we'll catch you tomorrow at 7:30 for some more.
B-O-T-T-Y, come out. Shield. Okay. Thank you, Seer Israel, for connecting the books. Hallelujah, wah. Hallelujah, wah. Hallelujah, wah. That's no thing from that.
All right. This Bible has a double meaning.
Double meaning.
The world was taught one, but the sixth anointed camp said, totally, that was a double meaning. He was head over bull's threat on taking down the children of Israel. His head was sealed up in pride. And Yahuwah taking that away from him by sending the seer down there to tell him one thing. You out of order, put some book on him, then his eyes was open. Then from that point on, the scales of pride was taken away, and Paul was ready to take care of Yahuwah's business. That's what happened in that verse. All right, Sister G, I was excellent on your part. We're going to run and see if we can get the mothers in and go for the final end. And once again, about to see you, so become humble. Become humble to tell you one thing. Take another look at this book. This book has been mistaught by every nation it is. There ain't but one minister can teach this Bible as is. That's the sixth anointed camp of bosses of the two is right. What came off his eyes, and he knew that he was no longer blind, that he was doing wrong and persecuting the descendants of the people of Yahuwah. That's the scales that fell off his eyes. When you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother E, Mother Z, Mother E, Yahuwah be there, see right here.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, for seeing you all. Hallelujah. Oh.
Hallelujah. Mother E, let's beat that a little bit more. Let's beat that. Let's go to St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 25. Let's beat that a little bit more. Let's put some more precepts on that. Let's run to St. John. No, I'll tell you what. Let's come back. Let's go to 2 Kings first. Let's run to 2 Kings verse 6, verse 12, 15 through 17. Let's work our way up to St. John's. Second Kings, chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. Let's see what that said first there, Mother E. Second Kings 6, verse 12, skip down to 15 through 17. You on the clock, come on.
Okay, Second Kings, chapter 6. 12 through 17. And one of his servants said, "None, my Yahweh, O king." But Elijah, the seer that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the words that thou speak and thou did say. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of Yahweh was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Verse 16. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." 17. Elisha prayed and said, "Yahweh, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elisha.
Did you hear that, Marie? He wasn't physically blind, like Paul wasn't physically blind. He just didn't have no spiritual understanding that Yahweh prayed for his servant to see that, hey, the seer is covered with many horses of fire around the seer. He couldn't see that. All he could see was physical, worldly. So Yahweh said, open his eyes where he can see the bigger picture. And that's what we're trying to do for those on the network, especially sitting on the camps, to open your eyes, although you see. But you have to see more Yahweh way. And then you will see that it's time for you to come in and get in where you fit in with the six anointed camps. Your spiritual eyes got to open up now, although you see. Now, we're going to precept that to St. John chapter 9, and we're going to pick up at verse 1. Then we're going to skip down to verse 25. So now we're going to get another case. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 25. What does it say?
Book of St. John, chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 25. St. John chapter 9, verse 1. As Yahweh the Son passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse 26, 25.
Verse 25. Let's beat it a little bit for this national audience. Let's keep reading one to five. Let's make a little meal out of it real quick. Pick up verse 1 again, take it down to verse 5, 1 to 5, and verse 17 to 19. 1 to 5, 17 to 19, then verse 25. Let's beat a little bit there, Mother E. We got a little time. St. John 9, 1 through 5, then skip down to 17 through 19, then read verse 25. Let's go make a little meal out of it. Come on.
Book of St. John, chapter 1, chapter 9, verse 1 to 5, 17 to 19, and 25.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Don't read 1 again. Verse 1.
Yeah, go ahead and read 1 again. And read verse 1 again.
Verse 1. And as Joshua the son passed by, he said, a man which was, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. Yahweh the Son answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of Yahweh should be made manifested in him. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he had opened thine eyes? He said, he is a seer. Verse 18. But the young Judah did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Verse 19. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was blind, was born blind? How then does he now see? Verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
Marie, what do you think they're talking about in this story line? Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. We got a little time. Let's see this conversation, what's going on here in verse 20 down to verse 25. We got a little time. Because one thing about it, you know, I have to stop thinking that we already know that. Make sure we drop it on real carefully exactly what's going on. By not skipping, just go down to verse, come back and pick it up at our verse number. Because right now he having a conversation with the religious leaders. And they want to know how in the world you're born blind, but now you see. And his parents knew that if they gave an answer that's not right to the religious leaders, they're going to be cast out the temple. So let's follow this conversation a little bit more in verse 21 down to verse 25. Let's follow this conversation just a little bit, and let's find out what happened. 21 to 25.
Okay. St. John chapter 9, verse 21 to 25. Verse 21. But by what means he now see, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Verse 22. These words speak his parents, because they fear the Jews. Y'all about Judah? For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Yahweh the Son, he should be put out of the temple. Verse 23. Therefore said, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give Yahweh the Son the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
All right, well, we'll give a case in point. Read verse 26. We'll give a case in point. Like right now, we cover this network 6 nights a week. We was blind on, remember, the lady that, when we opened the broadcast up, Oprah Winfrey, she's got $2 billion she can put her hand on. But she didn't even know what day the Sabbath day were. She wasn't physically blind. She was just spiritually blind. She got all the money you could shake a stick at. But she didn't know what day the Sabbath day were.
Right.
She said, all my life, I thought the Sabbath day was Sunday. So that means she was spiritually blind. But now her eyes have been opened to, like, those that come on this network. They know who they are. They know that now you know when you were blind on one taken, and the one that's going to be taken, he going to the fire. And the one that's left is going to the kingdom. You wasn't physically blind, but was spiritually blind. And the same thing about this young man. He wasn't physically blind. His parents had him spiritually got him in the dark. And that's why we got to help our own to get them out of that spiritual darkness they in. Where you was blind, but now you come to this network, and now you seeing that you are the true Israelites of the Bible. You got to take the lead, Yahdah Judah. Where you was blind, now you see. Now you see that the blessing is in the fringes. You see, there's no blessing in being like them. They got to be like you. Where you was blind on the dress code, Israel, but now you see. So when we read verse number 26, what it say? 26
Thank you.
And 27. What
Thank
it say?
You. St. John chapter 9, verse 26 and verse 27. Verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?
Yeah. He said, I can see y'all. I can see that Sunday is the wrong day. I can see now better. I can see these preachers now by listening to the six anointed camps. I wasn't physically blind because my spiritual eyes was closed from Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Now I see that's all from Satan the devil. I can spiritually see Christianity, Islam, and Judaism is from Satan the devil. You can't tell me no difference. I can see better. But one thing I do know, go to 10:22, what it says in 10:21. Well, it says in St. John 10:21, one thing we do know, that the world carries this, and we clear about it now. 10:21 says what in St. John.
St. John chapter 10, verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that had a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
Can the devil, it would not open up your eyes. The devil will continue to tell you, you can eat hog, pray over it, and you can eat it. The devil tell you that. You can eat anything in the water that you can get your mouth on. Whether it got scales on it, fins, without scales, don't make no difference. See, the devil tells you that. But now your spiritual eyes is open knowing that you can't eat anything in the water unless it got fins and scales on it. You know now not to eat, right. Don't eat no chitlins now. You know now not to eat chitlins. But you see that, but now spiritually you know your eyes is open. You don't eat like that. You know spiritually you know Sunday is the day of Satan the devil, the day of the sun. Now you seeing more by this ministry coming on the network where you was blind. Now you see, because the devil is not going to tell you that you, by eating starch food, is going to cramp your body up, have where you can't move around. The devil ain't going to tell you that.
Right.
That's what? We open your eyes spiritually from a blindness, darkness of Satan the devil. Satan cannot open your eyes up. The 17 nations cannot open your eyes up. The only way your eyes will be open by listening to and applying voices of the true Israelites. Now we're going to precept that to Romans 2:13. And what we got to be doing, let's go to Romans 2:13. Let's go to Romans 2:13. So now, once you hear this message, you got to become a Romans 2:13. What it says in Romans 2:13?
Book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 13. But not the hearers of the Torah instruction are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the Torah instruction shall be justified.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's run back to and precept a statement that was written in Acts chapter 9. Read verse 18, and it got another section onto verse number 18. Acts chapter 9, verse 18. Mother E, excellent on your part. Let's read a little bit more past the scale in verse 18. Let's see what it says there. Acts chapter 9, verse 18.
And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scaled, and he received his sight for to walk with, and arose and was baptized.
Verse 19.
And when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then was certain days with the disciples which were at the master.
I'm looking for the word called. I'm looking for the word called closed seal. What verse you got? Let me peep over there, because it's another word I want to take a look at while we got a little time there, Mother E. You got a word called closed and seal. And I want to come back there and see what verse that is. If you found it for me, that's good. I want to come back and look at another word in that ninth chapter. It was another word there. It was another word about closed and sealed. What verse was that? Let me see. What verse was that? I seen another word in there. Let's see. Well, I don't see it. I guess we'll catch it in class. But he had a word in there called close and seal. I guess I missed that. Okay, but let's run to Isaiah chapter. Let's run to the book of Isaiah 29, verse 9. Because, no. Okay. Let's just run to Isaiah 29, verse 9. It's something else I've seen. I've seen another word. And what was it in Job? Hold on a minute, Mother, hold on this minute. I'm going to go to Job 41. 15. It's a word I'm looking for. I need to pull it out. In the book of Job, chapter 41, look at verse 15.
Job 41, 15.
Mm-hmm. There's a word in there I want to pull out. 15.
Book of Job, chapter 41, verse 15.
Yes, ma'am.
Book of Job, chapter 41, verse 15. His scales are his pride, shut up together, and with a closed seal.
With a closed seal. Okay, that's what I want, a closed seal. Now, come to, and let's find what that means. So we're going to keep precepting that a little bit more. Let's run to Isaiah 29, pick up verse 9. Remember, the closed seal. We're going to find out what that means by going to Isaiah 29, pick up verse 9. He says, scales fell from his eyes, which was his pride, because they was closed sealed. 29, pick up verse 9 of Isaiah. Let's see what's going on right here. Isaiah
29,
verse
9. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
For the Yahweh have poured. For the Yahweh have poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and have closed your eyes.
Yes.
The spirit and your rulers, the fear has
been covered. Now, he don't close out of them pastors and them preachers there. He don't close the eyes. He didn't close the seer's eyes because seer's people at this thing. He don't close the eyes of them pastors and bishops. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 11, and division all is become unto you as the word of a book that is sealed, which man delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. Verse 12.
Right there. The book is sealed, and that's what got the thought. See, Paul was a very learned man, but the book was sealed until he went to the seal, and he opened the book up, and let's precept that to 24:31 of Luke. So Paul was a learned man, like the world is, like all these big dignitaries. They very learned, but this book, it's closed and it's sealed to them. And until we open this book up, they're just going to be reading this book because it's closed and it's sealed. So what got to happen? Luke 24, 31 and 32, what got to happen?
Luke chapter 24, verse 31 and 32. 31. and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. 32. And they said one to another, did not our minds burn within us while we talked with, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Ain't that something? You hear that, Marie? But man, they already physically see, but their eye was closed, and that's the same thing would happen to Paul. He physically seen, his eyes was closed to the scriptures. And that's what we got to open up to those that got an ear to hear that is physically seeing everything. But they spiritually, they can't see that this thing is coming to a close. They can't see it. But those that got an ear to hear, now read it one more time. Read again. And 24, verse 31 and 32. And this is exactly what happened to Paul. What did it say?
Luke chapter 24, verse 31 and verse 32. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our minds burn? Why? Within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? That's nice there, Mother E. Now let's go wrap it up in Sirach 10, verse 7 through 19. I know it's kind of hard. I know. But the world is blind. The book is sealed. And the voices of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps, going to open up your spiritual eyes where you were blind to the world, and now you're going to see. The only thing that can hurt you is this. Sirach 10, 7 through 19, and we'll close out with this. Sirach, chapter 10, verse 7 to 19. Come on there, Mother. Mother E, excellent on your part. Sirach 10. 7
down
to verse 19. Listen.
Sirach chapter 10, verse 7 through 19. Verse 7. Of whose weakness even to this day do waste land that smoke is a testimony and a plan bringing truth that never come to Christ and a standard pillar of salt is a mountain of an unbelieving soul person. Verse 8. For regarding not wisdom, they got not. Only this hurt that they knew not the things which were good, but also left behind them to the world a murmur of their foolishness, so that in the thing wherein they offend, they could not so much as be hid. Verse 9, but wisdom delivers from pain those that attend upon her. Verse 10. When the righteous flee from his brother, wrath, she girded him in righteousness and righteous path, showing him the kingdom of Yahweh and give him knowledge of righteous things. Made him rich in his travail.
Wait, hold on a minute. Hold on, Mother E. Mother E, are you in Sirach chapter 10, verse 7?
Right. No.
You there? Okay, go ahead.
Huh? No, I'm not there. Barack chapter 10, verse 7.
Yeah, come on back, because I was waiting to hear you right now. Now, make that Sirach 10 and pick it at verse 7. We get much as we can out. Look at it real carefully, 10, verse 7.
Okay, I got it this time. Sirach chapter 10, verse 7 through 19, verse 7. Pride is hateful, therefore Yahweh and man. Pride is hateful before Yahweh and man, and by both do one commit sin. Verse 8. Because of unrighteousness, dealing, and just and riches got by deceit, the kingdom is translated from one people to another. Verse 9. Why is earth and ashes poured? There is not a more wicked thing than a covetous man and woman, for such and one sits his own soul to fear, because while he lives, he casts away his wealth by wealth. Verse 10. The physical, the position cuts off a long desire, and he that is today a king, tomorrow shall die. Verse 11. For when a man or woman is dead, he shall inherit creeping things, beasts and worms. Verse 12. The beginning of pride is when one departs from Yahweh and his mind is turned away from his maker. Verse 13. For pride is the beginning of sin, and he that had it shall pour out abomination. And therefore the Yahweh brought upon them strange calamity and overthrown them utterly. Verse 14. The Yahweh has cast down the throne of pride and set up the meek in their stead. Verse 15. The Yahweh has plucked up the root of the pride nation and planted the lowly in their place. Verse 16. The Yahweh overthrows countries of the nations and destroy them to the fountain of the earth. Verse 17. He took some of them away and destroyed them and has made their memorial to cease from the earth. Verse 18. Pride was not made for man, nor anger for them that are born of woman. Verse 19. They that fear the Yahweh are sure sealed. and they that love him and honor planted they that regard not the Torah instructions are a dishonorable seed. They that transgress the commandments, the Torah instructions, are a deceitful seed.
Excellent, Moby. You got it in. Closing statement will catch you at the Sabbath day class. You on the clock. Come on. Excellent. You got it in now. And that was excellent. What your closing statement is?
Thank
come
you.
On.
Thank you and praising Yahweh for another class. Thank you and praising Yahweh for this year. Thank you and praising Yahweh to be in the class. Thank you and praise Yahweh for the one that's with me. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. That's Mother E out of Cal 1. Pride is what messed up the world today, and you're blind when you got pride.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that pride and get them off of your eyes. All right, catch you all tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Y'all, everybody going to Blog Talk, Pal Talk next. All right, shalom.
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 Working as an intern with
yes.
Will Smith,
yes.
You say to them,
yeah.
Look, I have to have the Sabbath
yes.
off,
yes.
Which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week.
Yeah.
Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job
yeah.
with Will Smith
yes.
and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.